In this second episode of our customer series, we have Avi Friedman, Jezebel Gilmore, and Joe DiPaolo from Netskope joining us today to talk about how we, as IT professionals, networking professionals, security professionals, systems engineers, cloud engineers, you name it, can take control of our network in 2025. Avi, Jezebel, and Joe, welcome back, and thanks so much for joining me again on the podcast. This is the second episode in our series together, so I really appreciate you joining me again to continue to flesh out some of these important concepts, important issues that folks in IT and specifically networking are dealing with. And now that we're moving into 2025, what I wanted to talk to about today is how folks in IT more broadly, I'm going to say, so, you know, those networking engineers and systems engineers, business leaders, folks that are thinking about new tools, new strategies, how to cut costs, how to do operations better in any sphere of operations that they're in, perhaps security as well. I forgot about that one. And how folks can take control over their IT environment, how folks can take control over their network in 2025. There's a lot of things that we can talk about and flesh out here from a technical and a business perspective, a strategy perspective, workflows. And between the three of you, there's a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge that I'm looking forward to hearing today. So thanks so much for joining. And let's get started. And Joe, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to start with you.
Yeah. So, you know, from my perspective, my background is building wholesale large-scale infrastructure where the margins maybe weren't super rich. And so you had to be responsible for every component, you know, to the hardware, to the layer one, layer two of the network. But that also gave you control and visibility. And I think as the enterprise network evolves and the market has become more reasonable from a cost perspective, I think the enterprises need to start taking more control, to use your word, of their infrastructure and their environment. And I think through the podcast, we can talk about data and we can talk about security and other aspects, but I think it starts layer one, layer two, layer three, right? Where is the traffic going? If you're dumping it off to a transit provider, you're losing control. If you're relying on a public cloud, you're losing control. If you're paying a managed service, you're overpaying. And so looking at that, the physical capabilities of your underlying infrastructure is kind of the first step. So that for me, it comes down to not relying on third-party vendors to control the destiny of your networks.
Interesting. So Joe, what you're telling me is that folks can start off that if they just don't have an understanding where their traffic is going and what that traffic looks like, that's the first step.
Yeah. If you're using a third-party provider, if you're using a public cloud, if you're using a managed service and there's a congestion complaint, all you could do is call somebody. Right? You have no control or capability, visibility. And so, and the reality is people are not provisioning infrastructure for you. So it's just a shared environment anyway. And so decoupling that, having more control of your physical infrastructure, of your routing, of your users, of the destination is the only way to do it. And to assure that you can deliver a service that your employer, your users, you know, require.
Yeah, I would very much agree. You know, it's about observability, which is understanding the assets and what they're doing and the performance, traffic, cost, security. And then one of the key elements in terms of control is variety. So having the ability to have the food to use to be able to put it all together. Because as Joe said, if you only have one path or one provider, all you can do is complain to them. So you need to have enough interconnectivity, enough diversity in terms of cloud and even vendors routing, although that gets a little trickier for reasons we could talk about some other time. But you know, you need to have that and you need to bring everything together. And we see that as two big things that people are working on for 25 is how do I bring all the understanding of what's going on together? And then how do I plan to have the diversity and control over our business's destiny.
What do you mean exactly by the business's destiny, though? Are you talking more about like the outcomes of the network as it relates to the business and not on like a specific tech? My mind always goes to specific technologies, but that's not what you said.
I mean, yes, it's the packets that make up the revenue of your business. If you are delivering your services, if you're delivering support, if you are a SaaS company, if you are a service provider, and you know, you may be doing higher level things, but you still have to deliver those packets. If you are reliant entirely on third parties to control the quality of them, the security of them, even sometimes outsourcing visibility and debugging, then when you have an issue, your business is stopping and you don't have that control. If someone else has that control, then you don't. If you don't have enough variety of paths and enough understanding about how to use all of those different pieces to be able to route around issues, optimize, then you know, you may be on the hook for something that, you know, and then sit there helpless. And that's just not acceptable if your employees can't work together, or even worse, in some cases, the customers can't get access to do business with you.
So in other words, we can make technical decisions that ensure the business outcomes that we want. And that maybe is a different paradigm for some technical leaders going into 2025 and getting away from thinking about a specific vendor or a specific technology. Do I need EVPN or do I need layer two leaf spine? Well, what are you trying to accomplish and how does that one or the other support the business in your data center in that case? So let me ask you, Joe, because I'd like to get your take on this. I mean, have you seen enterprises in the past, and hopefully now that's the trend in the future, you know, approach this in that way, where they're really taking the business outcomes of the, you know, the whole goal of the network here into consideration when making those technical decisions?
Yeah, it's definitely a growing trend. You know, the medical and the financial institutions have been running their own networks and data centers for a long time, and now it's not just critical providers or infrastructure. More and more enterprises, I've seen providers that are deploying and working on their own VPN solutions. I've seen them completely rip out overlays of MPLS and SD-WAN and go point-to-point network-based services. I've seen some use dark fiber and core network services. And so the one thing about the internet is being able to have your own bandwidth and your own capacity is going to provide the biggest assurance for you. And so shameless plug again for Netskope in that we built our platform as an overlay to interface with enterprises where they need to be, whether it's a public cloud or whether it's a peering of BGP or whether it's you know, P&I of network. But you know, to answer your question directly, it is definitely a growing trend of the enterprise operator taking back control of those physical layers and of their destiny of network. So
can we talk about cost then? I mean, we're talking about making technical decisions in the context of business outcomes, but what about cost, which is always a concern? I mean, whether it's a price per port or egress charges from a cloud provider or something like that. You know, years and years ago, I didn't hear people talking about it as much, but now it's top of mind in really even very, very small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, I mean, the price that the cloud providers, even at deep discount, charge for internet egress, which includes to the other clouds, is more than 10 times. It used to be only 10 times wholesale transit cost, but it's still pennies per gigabyte, not, you know, per megabit per second. And so that adds up at scale, both for customers that are using things heavily sort of always, and if you've got attacks, if you have misconfigurations, if you have things like that. We had a fascinating meeting about a month ago with an enterprise customer that I thought was going to be about something else because they wanted to talk about cloud capacity planning, which is awesome because that's a lot of what we do is try to understand, especially intercloud and cloud to hybrid on-prem. But still, you know, cloud, you can use APIs. It's not like you have to order stuff and put it in. So we weren't sure what they meant. And then it turns out that what they wanted to talk about was their own backbone that they built and run and interconnect at, you know, 400 gigabits per location per cloud in 10 cities because cost and performance, they can't really count on the clouds to have that capacity and be able to run it. And then from there, it looks like, you know, 1990s, 2000s, kind of like, how do I run a backbone? So it was like about cloud, but it was really about control and running that network. But if you do the math And let's say they've got 10 cities times two clouds, or in aggregate, I think, you know, let's say it's, you know, a terabit of traffic. It's actually more than that in this case. That bill, while it may be less than the rest of their cloud bill, is still, you know, approaching that of if you were to just pay even 80% discount, what the rate card for that internet bandwidth is still, you know, millions of dollars a month just for bandwidth, you know, at way higher rates. So it gets a lot cheaper to bring that under control, even if you have two or three or four people that have to be aware of your architecture and get some assistance and consulting to set that up than to just, you know, pay the clouds for that.
And that wasn't always the case. And so a lot of the enterprise network, as I talk to, assume it's too expensive or too hard to manage. And so I think, you know, being able to explore that now is something that they should definitely be focused on, because to your point, it's a lot more manageable from a cost and implementation perspective.
So should that be top of mind for any, you know, network engineer that's just out there keeping the lights on? I mean, that to me has never really been part of technical decision-making, in the sense that, like, I need to know how to configure a thing and how to reduce latency and that sort of things. But certainly there's a cost associated with achieving those types of outcomes, right?
Yeah, but the reality is, like, they're paying for something that doesn't, you know, an MPLS overlay or a managed IP is not a thing, right? There's very little benefit. AT&T has hundreds of millions of dollars in managed services. What is that necessary for? If you have one link to them, what are they doing, right? And so, and MPLS tunnels are just carving up capacity that already exists. And so I'm just very cynical of overpaying networks from an enterprise perspective to give you capabilities that just don't exist. And so I would much rather go direct to internet, have multiple internet providers. Like Avi said, hire a couple guys that know how to sling some packets, and you're going to get more capacity, more control, and you're going to reduce costs significantly.
It's also really important when you go with vendors and managed service providers that you make sure that they're open to giving you the telemetry that you need to make these kind of decisions. A lot of the managed networking providers, that's all some service that's like Microsoft SQL with a Flash interface that was written 20 years ago that shows you a couple summary points for the day in terms of total traffic usage. You can get that when you're outsourcing, you know, when you've got wireless control planes, SASE, you know, making sure that you can get the data that you need so that your team can bring all that together. You know, it's enough of a headache bringing together SNMP and streaming telemetry, but, you know, across your networks, bring it together. That's really critical food that, you know, that those teams need as well.
There's something that I actually, I was sitting with a customer earlier last week, and we talked about their need, which is something Joe and Avi both mentioned, the customer's need to have control of their own destiny, so that they felt that it was really important to have their own tool that they manage using open source. But then, you know, as a tool, but then he said, but I also am aware that open source is a gift like a puppy, not a gift like
free like a puppy. Yeah.
So
as opposed as a gift like a free beer, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's a really fantastic thought to leave. Because when, you know, enterprise customers and even system, you know, service providers are choosing tools to gain control, they also have to think about the longevity of them and the maintenance of, you know, taking control of their own destiny, right? What is it? Do they have the talent in-house, the resources, and what is it that they need? Do they have the visibility into the, you know, do they have a partner in the vendor that they're working with, the supplier they're working with, or are they, you know, getting themselves into a situation that's just going to cause themselves pain? You know, who is it that you're going to be working with? So, and I think that's something I would like for both Joe and Avi to opine on, because that's something that's sort of been challenging me, because I'm like, yes, you absolutely need to have control over your own tools and your own infrastructure. But at the same time, right, what's the right way to do this?
For us, it comes down to the people listening to this podcast and the people that are operating these environments are the people that get called when something is broken. And if your vendors don't have visibility, as Avi said, or some level of control, like we've talked about, you're going to have a bad time. And so as you're, you know, if we talk about AI, we talk about security network convergence, we talk about network control, it all comes down to decoupling the dependency that each vendor provides you and give you that control versus I just pay them an extra fee to do it for me. And unless their service is flawless, you're going to have a hard time explaining that to your management or to your users why something is down and why you're waiting for them to update you. Because we can tell you the underlying infrastructure is not flawless and is not something that could be managed by a single carrier. And so, especially if you're a global infrastructure, you know, good Lord. And so that's something that the network operators have to consider.
Yeah, I think it is important to find vendors that will be open with you. We've all heard of network architecture, you know, but basically, okay, tell me what's behind all the, you know, the dog and pony and the bullshit and magic. Help me understand and meet and talk with some of your customers that have had issues and how, you know, so I can talk to them about how you've dealt with it, because everyone has issues you need to work around. And the question is, are they there so that they're not wasting your time, when you call them and say, and they say, oh, there's no known problem with the network at this time. And then if it was a really major outage, maybe the next day they'll say, that problem we weren't having is resolved now. You know, meanwhile, you're trying to figure out what to do. And as Joe said, you're responsible to your management. So it's finding an ecosystem of people that you can rely on with technologies that you understand and finding the most elegant way of combining these things and controlling them. And I am of the bias that the traditional ways that we've done things are sometimes the most elegant way. I did an interview back in 2016, and I said, beware of hipster tools. As networkers know, if you don't know how you shouldn't use something, you don't really understand enough to use it. Everything has limitations. So, find the right set of things. And the good news is, again, there's a lot of training and resource and data out there. And a lot of people actually, even in the industry, you know, that are happy to help. There's Nanog and Autocon. There isn't really Interop anymore, but there's a lot of resources, out there about how to do it and templates and people that provide services to help not run it for you forever, but augment your team and do training and help you, because it really is a lot more stable, a lot less hard, and a lot more cost effective, especially in terms of protecting the revenue of the business, to put a diverse set of networking elements and services in place and have an understanding of how to run those in the hybrid sense, right? Your own infrastructure, WAN, SD-WAN, cloud, data center, use of the internet, CDNs, you can get a great bunch of vendors that give you those things that are not trying to control your life and destiny. And even including the cost of people can be incredibly cost effective.
And then in turn, actually control your destiny.
Right.
In the sense that you have that diversity of vendors without the overhead and having a new puppy to take care of, like you said, Jezebel, right? So I would like to talk about literally as you're speaking, Avi, on my left is my Slack window, and I'm seeing alerts about new security breaches. And so inevitably, my mind goes to, this is nuts. Every day I'm reading about 1, 2, 3 new security breaches. And I'm not a security person either. So, Joe, I'm thinking about you here. How does an operations person, an engineer of any stripe, how do they take control of this overwhelming like flood of constant security alerts, breaches? And I don't even mean necessarily alert fatigue. I just mean with the things that we have to think about as we move data across the internet, right? That's, you know, 90% of the applications that I use are somewhere else and not on my laptop here. And of course, we utilize things like public cloud and now publicly available large language models like GPT and so forth. So how do we just buy more firewalls?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question in the sense of your users, the enterprises are ahead of the operators from that perspective. So you're playing catch up a little bit. Unfortunately, firewalls imply backhauling. Because you can only be in so many places, and now you have users because of COVID and other things, they're remote more than ever. The offices, besides some of the big boys, the offices are shutting down or they're hoteling. And so anyway, so I guess to answer your question is it comes down to, which is a common theme in control, which is that visibility. And so shameless plug again for Netskope. A cloud-based security service that can give you that visibility. And one thing that's interesting is the network person doesn't always consider security solutions as an additive to their life, right? So a security person would deploy as many applications as possible as long as nobody noticed. And the network person's, I think the joke was the network operator speeds up packets and the security operator slows them down. And the thing that I like to tell them is the security people is that if you have a performance problem, you have a security problem. So if you're on a managed device and you're running a client or an agent or you're backhauling and it's slow, you turn it off and you go direct to internet or you go to your own, you know, bring your own device. And so as a network operator, you have to make sure that you have a performant infrastructure. As a security operator, you have to make sure it integrates with the network. And so, you know, that's a long roundabout way to answer your question, but it comes down to having visibility, understanding what's happening on your network, goes back to that layer of control of infrastructure. If you can give a clean, highly performant path to their destination, that gives you options from monitoring, from filtering, from running a firewall. But if you're running over an MPLS network, backhauling to a central data center, using a third-party firewall, and you have performance complaints, how do you unravel that? Right. And so simplify it, strip it down, get it to core physical capacity, and then build up on top of that. Right. If you ask Avi to take over an enterprise, if he ran Kmart's network, right, the first thing he would do is build network or get IP connectivity and then work from there. The difference here is it's the network is usually one of the last things the operators and the applications think about. And I think underemphasized when it comes to the enterprises, at least that I've run across. So I don't know, Avi, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, from a security perspective, having an inventory, having the telemetry, this is the Telemetry Now podcast, from the different layers of your network, the things you control and the ones you don't. So your data center, the clouds that you use, the internet, although that may just be performance telemetry because, you know, you can't get that kind of telemetry from others, sometimes even down to the host, which can give you great performance data, making it more useful by enriching it with your systems of record, sources of truth, what application, customer, group, those are also really important for, you know, automation, if that's what you know, as part of increasing the ability to operate and increasing security, and then understanding and sharing, as we talked about in another podcast, between the operations and security groups so that if the security group has implemented some policy that's affecting traffic and, you don't waste time trying to figure out whether it's a network problem or not, and that the security group has that kind of visibility, Phil, as you were talking about in terms of the security streams coming across. You know, it may be a public website which has no interesting content and, people pulling some stuff from it from from, you know, countries and locations where there's actually no users of interest, and you may say that's lower priority, or it may be something else. But if you're stuck in the sort of last decade of scrying by IP address and VXLANs and MAC addresses and ASs and don't know what the traffic means, then it's important. And again, if the wireless is a black box because it's all some controller you don't have access to, or the SASE, then that becomes a problem too. So it's a lot of it is designing with observability in mind, getting the groups to use the common tool set. And then, yes, bottom line is there are a lot of security alerts, and some of them are really high priority, and it just needs to be, you need to be able to determine whether they're the most actionable by bringing all the data together and enriching it, and then, you know, act on the ones, be able to act on the ones with confidence that you're not going to break things, or that if you are, you know what to do about it.
Yeah. Two things that stand out from what each of you said is this idea that many or most security incidents, they manifest themselves as performance degradation, maybe even a hard down. And I know that's not always the case when you're like piggybacking something in DNS and do some kind of data exfiltration. You don't want performance degradation because then you get found out. But a lot of the time that is the case. And so that visibility into the application delivery system, all the components involved with the network, you know, in the broad term, is incredibly important to getting a hold of and getting control of your mind wrapped around your security environment, your how safe is this data in transit. And then, of course, we can talk about, you know, data at rest. And so also thinking now about what you said, Avi, which, you know, in my world is, well, my world up until about 5 years ago when I was working in the trenches, is the fact that, like, I have so many disparate systems. A lot of them I own, many I don't. And, you know, in order to understand like where there's a problem and, you know, where there's a vulnerability and where are the attack vectors and you know, what all that, it's just so difficult to put all that stuff together, let alone put it together manually, right? And then, you know, finding some sort of context to layer over that, you know, like even if it's as simple as like, here's an application tag so that way I can know like, you know, this flow and this metric and then this like, you know, this firewall rule, they all kind of relate to each other, right? Something as simple as that. That was a struggle for me, is like just more and more systems that all fall under this umbrella of the quote unquote network and therefore like under my purview to figure out and under my purview to secure. And that was a struggle. And so, yeah, I see network observability, a lot of that involving the unification of a lot of the data so we can have a holistic understanding of this system. So
yeah, I think that there's two trends that neither of which is the complete picture. One is the old Star Trek knock, right? Every carrier, Joe, I know Akamai was guilty of this. Joe, did you have like the Star Trek knock that you would bring people onto the bridge? And it was lots of screens that wasn't actually what anyone used, but it had pretty pictures and television programs. And
it was good like for that. Sales to walk customers, prospective customers.
Exactly.
For sure.
But as all those systems, as you said, Phil, they had different views of what is an application, what is a customer, what is a whatever, you know, looking at elements, but not composed services. On the other side, everyone wants the SPOG, the single pane of glass view, but there's only so much workflow-ish stuff you can do in those because, you know, typically your Grafana plugin is not going to have the full functionality of your application or network or all those things. So really the key is that all those systems that you're going to rely on, both you need a high-level view that people use with insights and the proper amount of alerting, and the systems that you're going to rely on, whether they're homegrown, you know, or commercial, have a common way of talking about what the services, applications, networks are for your infrastructure. You know, that's going to be, again, the best way to accelerate the humans and reduce downtime, you know, improve capacity planning, reduce cost, you know, all those things. And so it takes a little bit. It's not that hard, but, you know, still the biggest effort I would recommend for people in the new year is, you know, if you're going to make an IT or even security and or both resolution, it would be to be able to answer the question, you know, where is your source of truth?
Do you know where your packets are?
Yeah, and metadata, right? You know, I ask people, you know, I go in and I say, you know, so you know where, you know, you could describe to me what all your applications and assets are and where they are, right? And, you know, they're like, right, that's a good one. But, you know, that's what we all need to work on because these systems can't be maximally effective.
I always joke that every single network enterprise person I've met with has inherited someone else's mess, and that person was a moron. And so everybody's stuck with some legacy infrastructure, some Windows NT device, or some architecture decision that they're trying to unravel. And it's just ties into the, do you know where it is? And do you know where the data is? And you know, that's why we've been pretty consistent about control visibility, and the market and the technology has evolved. And I don't think it's going to cost you any more money if you do it the right way. So there's definitely a path out of there, but you got to own it. You got to own that, own every aspect of it if you're going to want to get it right.
And you just chip away at it, right? Start with the neighborhood. Like I came into a technology company and, you know, they had a list of where all their servers were that was in a database, and they had a file that lived on the servers that said, had the list of the servers. And someone came to me and said, I want your people to, you know, like every week reconcile these things. And I was like, why the hell do we have, like, generate one from the other? That's what you do. Make one but neither of them are completely correct. I'm like, well, guess what? The thing on the servers that they use, I'm going to go with that. That's my executive decision. Generate the database from that. Oh, that's stupid. I was like, okay, delete the database, generate it from that. Then we'll use the database and then generate the other way. Like, just pick something, solve a problem in a domain, and then progress. And eventually you'll know what your stuff is, which is really critical for all this. So security, automation, and making the humans more efficient.
Right. Well, that's really interesting that it did come back to visibility, because frankly, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Joe, do you know where your packets are? I mean, we're talking about running networks that are systems of systems, and we're not talking about the internet necessarily, but we're talking about wireless networks and, you know, overlays in our campus and our data center. That boggles my mind that we're running them in campuses now. We're talking about endpoints and home networks. So, you know, how do you reconcile that? It's by understanding the flow of traffic over all of those things. So, Jezebel, Avi, and Joe, thanks so much for joining me today for this episode in just kind of taking a look at how folks can take control over their own operations going into 2025 next year. So for now, if you have an idea for an episode, or if you'd like to be a guest on Telemetry Now, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at telemetrynow@kentech.com. So until next time, thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.